call your attention now to the passage where the sermon is based in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we will meditate upon the theme of my shepherd is my children's shepherd. My shepherd is my children's shepherd. Psalm 23. Listen to the reading of God's word with faith, hope, and love. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray once again. O Lord, we ask you these three things as we contemplate your word this morning. To see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day by day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to shepherd your children's heart? Then first of all, the Lord must be your shepherd. When we read Psalm 23, we learn also that in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, the first time that God is called a shepherd is by Jacob, when he's blessing his sons, the sons of Joseph. And he says, God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And then he blesses his grandsons. And that's what we want. The Lord our shepherd to be the shepherd of our sons and daughters and grandchildren. But first, he must be our shepherd, truly our shepherd. So take heed of yourselves, fathers and mothers and grandparents. Then you may save those who hear you, your children and your grandchildren. How can we do that? Well, let's see the psalm. Let's meditate upon these truths. First, that the Lord is your supreme king. That the Lord is our supreme king. Verses 1 through 3. You see in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. So who is your shepherd? Who is our shepherd? Yahweh. That's the covenant name of our God. The God who revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush. The personal name of God, Yahweh. He is the creator of everything. And he is the covenant God who enter into a relationship with his people. And he is the supreme king. The title of shepherd in the Bible is a title of kingship. He is your king above all else. But a king who is your king. My supreme king. And for that reason, because the God of universe, he has the desire to be your king and your shepherd. You can confess with the psalmist, I shall lack nothing. You see the point? Because Yahweh is my shepherd, I can lose everything in this world. Because he is everything to me, I will lack nothing. That's the point. Because he is my supreme king, Yahweh, the creator, and covenant God, and my supreme king, I can confess, even if I don't have anything in this world, I'm content. Because I have him. For that reason, I can confess, I do not lack anything. You see, in verse 3, 2 and 3 give us more reasons why we do not lack anything, because he takes care of us. It says in verse 2 and 3, he lies me down in green grass, he leads me in waters of rest, he restores me, he restores my soul, he guides me in straight paths. For what? For what reason? Well, you see that in verse 3, part B. For his name's sake. Me in his name. Me in him. Me for him. See, the whole point is, you see in verse 1, it's Yahweh, his name is my shepherd. In the end of verse 3, it's everything for, not for my own sake, for my own benefit merely, although it is true as well. But ultimately, it's for his name's sake. And then he ends also the psalm in Psalm 23, verse 6, with his name again, I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh, of the Lord. So the whole psalm is all about him. It's all the praises to him. All his care for him is for his glory, for his praise, for his name's sake, and for that reason, because he is my supreme king, the name above all names, that I can say that my life is complete in him, in my king, in my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not lack anything. With that in mind, how can you apply that to you and to your children and grandchildren? How? First, application. See, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't it interesting that the metaphor of shepherd demands a flock, more than one people? But here in the text, it's not our shepherd. It's everything in the singular. Even though you are part of a flock, of a group of people being the sheep of the shepherd, David says, me in the singular. He leads me, he guides me, he restores my life, my soul. You see the intimacy? That's the point. He is, even though he's the shepherd of a group of people in Israel, I zoom in on me particularly and say that he is mine and I am his. Now, parents and grandparents, is that your relationship with your king? Alone. Not only you do family worship, but you have daily devotion alone with your king, by yourself, as you pray, as you read your Bible. You have that kind of relationship with the King of the universe being your shepherd. And you can say daily, even hourly, I have a relationship with the King of the universe. Is that your reality, parent? Is that my reality? Second application. Parents, you are not the Lord. Maybe you are going through hardship in your relationship with your kids, with your boy, with your girl. Is it hard, isn't it? Do you feel impotent? Do you feel like you cannot do anything else? You feel yourself on the ground, humbled, humiliated. You've tried so many things and nothing works. It seems hopeless. Let me remind you again, the Lord is my shepherd. Because you don't need to do everything. You don't need to be everywhere. You don't need to know everything and solve every problem of your kid or your teenager. No. Rest like David. He is my shepherd. Yes, I will try everything I can. Yes, I will continue to pray. Yes, I will use my reason. I will use all that I can. But ultimately, I am not the shepherd. He is. And ultimately, I rest in him. I rest in my shepherd to solve, to take care of me and my family and my kid and my girl and my boy and my grandchildren. Rest in him. Rest in your shepherd king. Third application, that the Lord is your shepherd, your king, your supreme king. It's for you, children. You are listening to me. Your identity is not yourself. It's not found in your own heart. See, nowadays, it's follow your heart and try to find out who you are by yourself. No, your identity here is so clear that David says, I am who I am because I have Yahweh as my shepherd. Your identity is the Lord, kid. Do not follow your heart, your sinful heart. Follow the Lord. Follow that king, this shepherd, who created everything. It made you to follow him for his name's sake. You were made for that. You want to know about your identity? It's to follow this king. And to have your identity in him. To find your identity in yourself will disappoint you and make you restless. Well, let me try to explain this if you read the psalm in the opposite sense. Let me call it like David Paulson. I'm going to quote him right now as anti-psalm. As you have a psalm that you are your own shepherd. That you are your own king of your life. That you follow your own heart. Let's read the psalm in that way. Let's take out God, Yahweh, as your shepherd and put yourself there. Let's read how it works. Okay? Listen to this. It's from the counselor David Paulson. I am on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continuous sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I'm always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. It's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. It's a desert. I'm thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. I stumble down some dark paths. Still, I insist. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want. But life's confusing. Why don't things ever really work out? I'm hunted by emptiness and futility, shadows of death. I fear the big hurt and final loss. Death is waiting for me at the end of every road. I'd rather not think about that. I spend my life protecting myself, but bad things can happen. I find no lasting comfort. I'm alone, facing everything that could hurt me. Are my friends really friends? Other people use me for their own ends. I can't really trust anyone. No one has my back. No one is really for me except me. I'm so much all about me. Sometimes it's sickening. I belong to no one except myself. My cup is never quite full enough. I'm left empty. Disappointment follows me all the days of my life. Will I just be obliterated into nothingness? Will I be alone forever, homeless, free-falling into void? As the French philosopher Sartre said, hell is other people. I have to add, hell is also myself. It's a living death. Then I die. So let me warn you, kid, or young people, when I am the center of my life and God vanishes from my sight, disorder is my life, I'm on my own, and fear and silent despair is probably the result. No, today is the morning. This morning, Is God calling you? I am your shepherd. I am your supreme king. Follow me. What else does the psalm teach us? That the Lord is our supreme king, but also the Lord is our Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 4. Isn't it beautiful? Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, for you to understand better this verse 4 and know that God is your Emmanuel, God with you, you need to see verse 3, something very important, that says, it leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, he's leading you in the paths of righteousness. He's guiding you in the paths. Well, you don't leave that path when you go to verse 4. He continues to lead you to the valley of shadow of death. It's not randomly that you fall into, in your life, into the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. It is your king who is leading you there. He takes you to the valley. Now here, for you to understand the principle that I don't want you to forget, whether you are parents or grandparents or children or grandchildren, you see the pattern, the principle? Verses 1 through 3 is rest. He guides me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Still waters. Rest. Verses 1 through 3. Then in verse 4, valley. You see, first it's food, water, security. Then is shadow of death, danger, and evil. You see that? Well, that's a pattern that you see in the scripture. Even in creation, for example, you see there he has every day evening, darkness, evening, the first day, second day, and then morning. Evening first is the beginning of the day, is evening. And the end of the day, the rest is morning. It begins with evening and then ends with morning. The day begins with rest, then work. You begin sleeping first in the evening, then you work. That's the pattern in creation. Then you see as well in Christian Sabbath. First day of the week is Sunday, is rest. Then Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. And then work. First rest, then you work. That you see also in the Jesus baptism. First, he goes to be baptized with water. And God's saying to him, you are my beloved son. Water. God's love and delight. Then after Jesus' baptism, you have what? He goes to the desert to fight Satan in the desert. You see the pattern? It's the same pattern. It's the pattern of the gospel. First salvation, redemption, then obeying the law. First rest in Christ, then live for Christ. And that's what you need to teach your kids at home every day of your life, parents. To teach them the grace of God. That's the only reason why you are being saved and are saved and will be saved. To rest in Christ and then to live for him. But then there's something else here that God is your Emmanuel. Is that in the valley we perceive that the Lord is more intimate. Did you see that? The commentators all noticed that. In verses 1 through 3 is a description about God. He leads me. You see, it's a third person singular. He leads me. He guides me. He makes me lie down. It's he and me. It's a description about our shepherd. But when you read verse 4 in the valley, it changes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you see it's not he anymore. It's you. You are with me. Now it's not a description about God. It's a prayer to God. Now it's not only something that you say about him, but it's something that you talk to him in the valley. It's more intimate. It's more a relationship because he is your Emmanuel, God with you. And it's amazing that the Lord will be always with you as your good father, no matter what. And you can notice that. You know that, right, grandparents? By experience, that you enjoy a more sweet fellowship with your King, especially when you go through the valley of sorrow and pain, that he becomes more real to you, more intimate to you, closer to you. And you can say, he is my Emmanuel. And therefore, I don't need to fear any evil, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. Now, you see that with David. It's a good illustration. Do you remember another valley? Another shepherd. David was a shepherd, wasn't he? He was there in the valley when Goliath was an incarnate, a blood and flesh evil, where everyone else in Israel, even Saul at that time, was afraid of that incarnate evil, Goliath. They were terribly afraid of him there in the valley. And there David said to Saul, I fought bears and lions because God was with me. And that's what you see there. David, with God, feared no evil against Goliath. And he did everything, not because of his own name's sake, remember the text, but because of the name of Yahweh. But bottom line, he had in his mind that even in that valley, God was with him no matter what. That reminds me of an episode in my life with my youngest daughter. At the time of COVID in 2021, I think, she had COVID. And we had to go to the ER. She had a high fever at that time, very high fever. She wasn't even 2 years old. So almost 2 years old. She could talk, she could understand. She wasn't even 2 years old. And when we got there in the hospital, they had to have their her urine and her blood. So they could not find her vein. So they pricked her 15 times. And then they had to insert a catheter, a tube, for her to urinate to get her pee. 2 years old, young girl. Even if I try to explain to her, it'll be all right. It is painful. You don't understand why they are doing this to you. But it'll be all right. It's for your benefit. You'll get better. Even I try to explain to her everything, it will not work. She would not understand. It was too high for her. That kind of suffering and pain was meaningless for her. It didn't make any sense for that little girl. The only thing that I could do was, Daddy is with you. It'll be all right. I'm with you. And she responded, yes, Daddy. Even crying. And I hugged her and embraced her very tightly. And she could pass through that painful experience. Why? Because she understood that her daddy was with her. If that is true between a little girl of 2 years old and an adult father, he didn't need to explain anything to her, and it was enough that he was with her. If that is true with human beings, can you imagine the difference between you and God, which is much bigger and greater than a 2 years old and an adult father. He doesn't need to explain to you everything that is going on in your life, the evil that you experience, the pain, the sorrow, the hardship. The only thing that you need, and all that matters, is what you are reading here about your shepherd, that he is your Emmanuel. Even though you walk through, not you stay not in the valley, you walk through the valley. It's passing through in this life that you are having hardship with your kid, with your girl. It's so mind-boggling and hard to support and stand. But the only thing that you need to know is, I am with you always, no matter what. That's all that matters. The Lord is with you. That is all that matters. So the Lord is your supreme King, your Emmanuel, God with us. Third, the Lord is your host, verse 5. Verse 5, see, verse 1 through 3 is he and me rest. It's verse 4, now it's intimate in verse 4 in the valley. You are with me. And verse 5 continues with that kind of intimacy. That because in verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You see the pattern here in the psalm? In verses 1 through 3, he serves us. He serves us all the time. He leads me. He guides me. He makes me lie down. He restores my soul. It's always who does the act of the verb. He's always serving me. It's amazing. Then in the valley, he is with me. And then in verse 5 again, it shows a king who is prone and delights to serve. What a God. What a king. What a shepherd. He is your host. He loves to serve you. It's just amazing. When you see in the world, it's the opposite, isn't it? The leaders want you to serve them. The leaders of the world want you to serve them. Here you see the opposite. What kind of king is this? What kind of a shepherd is this? He's the creator of the universe, who has the audacity not to be served, but to serve you with a banquet, as you see here in verse 5. And what kind of service is this? You see, it's a table. It's a perfume that he pours out in your head so that you can smell good, which is an act at that time of courtesy. Someone who treated you so well at home. And then the service is that, the place of joy, which is the cup of wine. It not only gives you what you need, something that is sufficient for your life. No, the text says it's more than you need. It overflows. It runs over. It's a service with abundance. It's more than you can think or ask. That's your king. That's your shepherd. That's your host. He wants you to overflow with joy. That's why you see its beauty of the psalm. That's why it begins, you shall not lack anything. It explains. See, the verse 1 is a summary of the whole psalm. He is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. Why? Because he's with me in the worst of my life. And with the best of my life, he's the one who gives me more than I need. With abundance. With overflows with everything. He wants my happiness. You see, that's the first application. This is the third point. Christianity is all about joy. It's his service for your joy. You need to see his beauty that way, to see his beauty to give you that joy so that you can love him and follow him. Kids, listen to me. You are in a Reformed church. Probably you are being raised in a Christian family. When you get older and you go to college, do not be deceived that I want to have fun now. All my life I was just boring and it had nothing. And Christianity is boring. That's a lie. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Christianity, kid, is all about joy. It's all about gladness. It's all about delight and pleasure. It's just like an alcoholic. Oh, I'm going to have so much fun with this much of alcohol. And at the end, it's so sadness that will bring you so much sorrow at the end. No, the creator of the universe is a creator of joy. And in him and with him, and to see his beauty when he serves you, that you see his delight. As John Newton once said, when you see the beauty of God, our pleasure and our duty, though opposite before, since we have seen his beauty, are joined to part no more. It is our highest pleasure, no less than duty's call, to love him beyond measure and serve him with our all. You see, when we don't see the beauty of that host serving us for our delight and joy, we think that our duty and pleasure are far away from each other. They are apart. But when you see the beauty of this King Shepherd serving you in your life, and even in the worst part of your life, he's with you in the valley, and your cup overflows, that duty and pleasure who were apart, now they are joined to part no more. He is your supreme king. He is your Emmanuel. He is your host. Do you know what else you may apply to you? That the Lord is your friend, as you see that he is your host, isn't it? The King of the universe is my friend. The shepherd is my friend. Yes, he is. He's so much my best friend, because even in my worst case scenario in my life, he's with me. That's what friend does. When I'm suffering, when I'm in pain, when I'm alone, when I don't know, I'm confused, he's right there with me as my friend. And then in verse 5, he serves me. He gives me a banquet. He wants my joy. It's what hospitality is all about, isn't it? In the New Testament, the word hospitality means friend of strangers. And that's what your shepherd is. That's a reminder to you, grandparents. Do not forget that at all. He has been your friend all along in your life, and he continued to do so. So parents, with that in mind, be friends to your kids. Listen to me. Copy your king. Grandparents, isn't it amazing your time? You can be more friend to your grandchildren. Yeah, give a lot of candies. Play with them. Be friends with them, because your shepherd king is your friend. In good times and hard times. Yes, be your parent with authority. Yes, you are the leader, but at the same time, be their friends. Be with them. And parents, teach them how to be good friends to others. Teach your children that, to be good friends. And also, be careful with their relationship. Who are their friends? You know, sometimes I'm so worried about cell phones and movies and other things online that will destroy the lives of my kids. But you know one thing that can destroy more than a movie? A deceiving wolf friend. It can destroy your kid's life forever. So be discerning. Ask wisdom for your king. be their friends. Be careful with their friends. And copy your Lord. Fourth and lastly, you see, the Lord is your supreme king. He is your Emmanuel. He is your host. And because he is your host, he's your friend. Now lastly, verse 6. The Lord is your goodness and love all the way home. He is your good, is your goodness and love all the way home. You see, in verse 6, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. It says, surely, or you can translate only goodness and mercy or covenant love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here, the house of the Lord points to eternity, points to the place where you will be in the special presence with God forever. And that verse explains to you again, verse 1, he is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Why? Because only goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life until I get home. Do you see the beauty of this? Do you see the promise of this verse? Do you see the grandeur of your shepherd in your life? Only goodness and love? How can that be? How? Well, let me say this because the literature here is amazing. Give me some minutes here. Bear with me so you can see the greatness of this verse. You see, there is a kind of paradox language here in verse 6. It says, goodness and love shall follow. But the verb is not follow. The commentators, all of them, perceive this. It's not follow, it's pursue. It's the verb for the enemy pursuing his prey. That's the verb behind here, of follow. So instead of evil following you, pursuing you to destroy you, what you have here is the goodness and love of God. You see, in verse 4, you have the rod and staff, rod in one hand and staff in the other hand of your shepherd. In the table, you have the cup of the perfume and oil in one hand and the cup of wine that overflows. And now, in his both feet, you have goodness and love running after you, pursuing you. You want to escape that love. You want to escape that grace. You want to escape that goodness. But he will persist to pursue you and to follow you and to run after you no matter what. Because he is your good shepherd and you shall lack nothing. And for you to see even more of this truth of verse 6, let me just try to point back to verses 4 and 5. You see, in verse 4 and 5 says, valley, enemy, and evil in verse 4. This life has valleys and darkness and death. This life, so much pain and sorrow. And even in verse 5, even when you are having a banquet that he's serving you, there's enemies close by in verse 5. Did you see that? He's giving you a table. Prepare a table before your enemies. In this life, it's a lot of valleys. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of sorrows. And even when you are having a blessed, there's enemies close by. That means that verse 6 opens up to you for you to see that your life is not summed up here, kid. Your life is not here, grandparents. Your life is not here, father and mother, because we live as if our life is here. It's a wake-up call. Even though we know that intellectually, today, this morning, it's a wake-up for you to see spiritually that reality. Yes, your pain with your kid that you're suffering right now, your rebel kid. Yes, the pain of your health. All the pains of relationships and difficulties that you are going through is God telling you your home is not here. Your house is not here. You do not belong here ultimately. my grace and my goodness is pursuing you all the way home. It's for you to see eternity. It's for you to have eyes in your final home. Then when you have that in your mind, then you are looking after it. When you long to be with Christ forever, without sin, without pain, without sorrow, to be with Him forever. When you long for that, when you know that your final destiny is that, you look back, isn't it? You are running, and He is running after you. When you go there in your final home, and you look back, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the difficulties, the only thing that you will see is goodness and love that had followed you all the way home. What a beautiful psalm. What an amazing truth of the gospel. Because there is another shepherd in the Bible called Joseph. I talk about David. Now Joseph, I think it's making reference to Joseph too. Remember all the pain of Joseph? He was sold. He was in prison. All the suffering, he could not understand the evil that was going on in his life at that moment. But at the end, in Genesis 50, when he had his brothers back and explained everything, and they asked for forgiveness, and all everything was right, he made that statement that you see here in Psalm 23. All goodness and love was following him all along. He said to them, "You meant for evil. It was evil what you did. You meant it for evil. But when I look back in my life, in this stage of life, God meant it for good." That's the same term that you find here in Psalm 23. Only goodness. Good. He meant it for good. That's what the text is telling us. He's teaching us. If we have eyes in our final home, then we can look back at our journey in this life, and all the pain and all the trials that were pursuing us will turn out to be goodness and loving kindness of our God all the way home. And for that reason, you can confess, "He is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything." But I want you to go home, not like this. You have to confess, "My shepherd, my children's shepherd," and live for Him. Start with you. You see, in the airplane, when you're there, there's some problem, turbulence. That mask comes up, comes down. You don't put that mask in that other person. You put yourself first. Then you can help others. Same thing with you, parents, father and mother and grandparents. Start with you. Then with your kids. And go home with more flesh and blood shepherd. Because only in Jesus you can have the Lord as your shepherd. And as your children's shepherd. Why? Because Jesus is our supreme King. He gave us true rest when He died on that cross and rose again. Jesus is our Emmanuel. He was abandoned. He felt the forsakenness so that we may have God with us in the valley. Jesus is our best host. He drank the bitter cup so that we may drink the cup of overflowing joy. He is our ultimate friend who gave His life for us. And when He comes back, when Jesus comes back, our shepherd king, when He comes back in Luke 12, do you know what He's going to do? Because I thought that when He was humbled here at His first coming, He was serving everyone and washing the feet of His disciples. But when He comes back in glory and power with a glorified body, then we will serve Him. Go to Luke 12. Your shepherd king. What kind of king is that? In Luke 12, it says that when He comes back, He's going to gird Himself. He's going to prepare a table and serve you again. And serve me again. What kind of a shepherd is dead. It's one of a kind. There's no one else like him. He's matchless. And he is inviting you, come, come and follow me, because you will find heaven in me. What a God. What a shepherd. Jesus is our goodness and love all the way home. He's preparing a place for us. He is our home. He is our goodness and love in the flesh, and will pursue us and leads us all the way home. Yes, he will. And I plead with you, come. Come. Repent. Have faith in this King Shepherd, because he's one of a kind. He is your Supreme King. He is your Emmanuel, God with us. He is your matchless host. And beautifully, he is our goodness and love. Grandparents, all the way home. All the way home. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our King, our good shepherd, our shepherd lamb. Shepherd lamb. Who protects us, who guides us, who leads us. But amazingly, who dies for us, who did die for us. What else do we want? I pray for everyone here. I pray for the children. Oh Lord, convert their hearts. Change them. Make them see what we have in Christ. They are prone to follow so many people in this world. It may be a sportsman, it may be a singer, it may be someone on Instagram. But they are missing the best of life, which is to follow Jesus. Oh Lord, be with them. There is joy, unspeakable joy in Jesus. Oh, guide them to him, oh Lord. And I pray for the fathers who are suffering because of their kids, maybe. Be with them. Comfort them. Renew their love for you, O God. Make them sense your special presence in the valley. And comfort them with the comfort that only you can give. We praise your name. And we ask for the Holy Spirit, so that you may open our eyes, spiritual eyes, to see the beauty of our Lord. In his name that we pray. Amen. Well, let us sing with all our joy this beautiful psalm, "The Lord My Shepherd Holds Me." It's a beautiful melody with the tune number 471. So let us sing with all joy. We just were reminded of this truth of the Psalm 23. Which is probably the most famous song in the world. Let us sing with all our hearts to this amazing King. Number 40, Psalter Hymn number 40, 4-0.
Thank you.
after the doxology, we'll have the benediction. The doxology reads, Son of my soul, Psalter hymn 472, stanza 7. 472, verse 7. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace with your shepherd. And the grace of our supreme shepherd king, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the amazing eternal love of God the Father, and the illumination, consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you all this morning, today, this week, and forevermore until we get in our home. Amen.